You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, the Trump administration has cut 90% of funding to USAID, the largest international aid organization. This move has received wide condemnation regarding what this will mean for those reliant on the support provided through the initiative. At the same time, in his opinion piece on Newsroom, senior lecturer in the Faculty of Education and Social Work at the University of Auckland, Ritesh Shah, analyses the current international aid structure with the substantial funding cuts to USAID and calls for international aid agencies to redirect what he says are their vested interests. I started off by asking him, should other prominent aid agencies, including the New Zealand Agency for International Development, reevaluate how foreign aid is delivered?
I think, yes, absolutely. I think that the reality, though, is that the gap that's by the United States cannot be easily filled by other... The United States is overall the largest bilateral donor in the world. And in terms of education, which is the area that I work in, it's the third largest donor. There have been discussions around other donors stepping in. But what we're actually seeing is it. And in fact, just last week, the UK also cut its official development assistance from 0.5% of its GDP to 0.3% to support increased military spending. And given that the government here has announced that we're going to be increasing our defense spending 2% of GDP, I wouldn't be surprised to see cuts to our development assistance as well in the forthcoming budget.
How are funding decisions made regarding where foreign aid is going to? And is this aid being equitably allocated to countries and regions most needing this support?
Absolutely not. And this is actually the crux of the argument that I put forth in a recent opinion piece. I think that what we're seeing more visibly than ever before is the fact that there's a view that aid needs to serve the of the countries that are giving that aid. And countries are being much more excited about that. In fact, when the Trump administration cut U.S. aid by 90%, as you noted, the reason it gave in the executive order was the view that this aid was no longer serving American interests. Now, I actually think that that claim is false. I think U.S. aid and, in fact, all bilateral aid has always sought to serve the interest of countries that are giving that aid, and whether it's the U.S., New Zealand, U.K., or other donor governments, always had that focus. So what that means then is that aid isn't about who's being served best or whose needs are the greatest, but rather what is the greatest return on a country's investment or aid to another country. So you see that aid gets used oftentimes for geostrategic or geopolitical reasons, trying to shore up its influence in other parts of the world.
Speaking to the delivery of education in these regions by these aid organizations, analyses by the Interagency Network of Education and Emergencies shows that the regions most needing these programs are being left behind. Why is this?
As I just mentioned, I think it's the geopolitical interest. So, for instance, what we've seen in the last few years is a real rebalancing of aid, specifically to the Ukraine response. For instance, there are various appeals every year that are put out by humanitarian actors working in each area that's affected by conflict or crisis. For the last 5 years or so, when Ukraine has put a request, 100% of that appeal has been funded. Versus if we look at a context like Sudan or Syria in recent years, less than 15 to 18% of that has been funded. So it doesn't mean to say that the needs are any less in a place like Syria or Sudan. It's just that at the moment, Ukraine is more geopolitically important to donors like the U.S., New Zealand, the European Union, UK, so on and so forth.
What would you suggest needs to change regarding how foreign aid is distributed to better achieve global justice?
I actually think that we need to move away from a position that we see aid as an act of benevolence on the part of the governments that are giving this aid. We need to recognize that the reason these governments that have these purse strings exist is because of legacies of colonialism, imperialism, slavery, and decades or centuries of kind of capital exploitation on the developing world. And post-World War II, when many of the countries were let go of their former colonial powers, this idea was that aid was supposed to somehow recompense in some way for that history. But it's a weak form of justice in a way, because it still leaves the power in the hands of the kind of core countries of the world. I think that if we were to really rethink aid, be around getting rid of the self-interested element of it and thinking about it in terms of what do we owe the countries that have been kind of at the receiving end of centuries of exploitation, able to achieve a sense of justice moving forward. And that means moving away from self-interest, ensuring that aid actually gets to the people who need it, and ensuring people who receive aid actually are having some decision-making and autonomy over how it's used. We shouldn't be setting the terms for how that aid is used. I think it's up to those who are needing and deserving of that aid to make that decision.
That was a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Education and Social Work at the University of Auckland, Ritesh Shah, on the substantial funding cuts to US aid and his concerns around the model used by international aid organisations as a whole.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.